Today with Joseph Prince.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, who said, I am the bread of life. He came as a lowly carpenter, all right, God incarnate. It's so beautiful. You know, I love it when I see Jesus coming down lowly, humble, and yet powerful. Amen. He hasn't come to destroy. He hasn't come to exert authority over man. He has come to exert authority over everything that destroys man, over disease, over demons, over the powers of nature when it gets wild. So he's here to love man and use his power. And yet when he's with man, he's always humble. He's always lowly. I love it. Whenever you find you're in a situation, put Jesus, roll Jesus right into that situation, and the tents of the Midianites will fall. And the word Midian in Hebrew means strife. Strife will be destroyed by the introduction of Jesus Christ. John 14 says, he talks to his disciples, and this is for the believers. He says that, I go away, Jesus says, but when I go away, I will come again unto you and receive you unto myself. There's a private rapture that's going to happen, where we receive a new body that will never grow old, never have disease, never die. Forever handsome, forever young, forever beautiful. Look like Miss Universe, Mr. Universe, different shapes and sizes, but all beautiful shapes and sizes, but different, you know what I'm saying? Amen. And we can still eat. There is a marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And we cannot feel bored in that new body. We cannot feel bored. We cannot feel tired. We cannot grow old. We cannot die. Forever. Which is quite a long time, people. Make sure you have your reservation. Amen? I want to share something real quick that I didn't plan to share, but it's been on my heart. This nation is, in Bible prophecy, called the Isles of the Sea. We are an island, and there's a reason why we are an island. Amen. God says he's going to move among the islands of the sea in the last days. He's the Lord of the islands. And it is God's way to use things that are weak, small, insignificant. Amen. Even a red dot. To confound the mighty. God's way is to use the weak to confound the mighty. Use the small to confound the large. Amen. That which people despise. You know, when Samson was weak and 1,000 men were coming against him, he looked around him and there was no sword in his hand, but he saw the jawbone of a donkey. And with the jawbone of a donkey, the Bible says, he killed 1,000 men, one after another. Of course, the Bible says, fear of the Lord came on him to deliver Israel. Amen. And then we have Gideon and his 300, the original 300. And how they came against an army. They were surrounded by armies that gang up together, literally surrounded, just like Israel is today, with all the terrorists that wants them to be annihilated. That's the bottom line. They're not satisfied with anything else. They just want Israel's demise. But it's the same story in the Old Testament. You find that surrounded with all kinds of enemies, and the Bible says as numerous as the sand on the sea. That's how many the enemies were. And yet, Gideon and his 300, they had a jar, earthen jar, and there was a lamp, a light inside the jar. And he told them, and hold a ram's horn in the other hand. And he says that, do what I do. Okay, he stood before the armies of his enemies, and he says to his 300, do what I do. He took the ram's horn, he blew it, and with the ram's horn, he smashed the earthen vessel. And all throughout the mountainside, the 300, their light shone. And the Bible says it caused confusion to the enemies. They started fighting among each other, and they were defeated before Israel. Of course, there's significant truths here. God hides wonderful truths in his scriptures. And the truth is that the ram's horn, you blow the ram's horn through the horn of a ram. You get the ram's horn from the death of the ram. So our proclamation is always about the cross of Christ, about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ that has brought victory. And the more we preach, the more we proclaim, the more you confess, the more you share with your friends, you are trumpeting the good news. Amen? And when you do that, your earthen vessel, all right, will break. Now, break doesn't mean destroy. Amen? God wants you healthy. Amen? Break means that part of you. You know, it's one thing to discipline a child, but when you discipline a child, you don't break the child's spirit. You break his will, his stubborn will. If you don't break his will, one day he'll break your heart. He'll break many hearts. He'll be destructive to himself as well. So break the will without breaking the spirit of a child. You break, whenever you see a purposeful, willful rebellion, you must break the will, amen, but not breaking his spirit. So God says when that happens, when you proclaim the gospel, your light shines and all will see and will cause the enemies to be confused. Amen. In the same story of Gideon, we have Gideon was afraid to go to the camp of the Midianites. And the Bible says that God told him, go by stealth. So one night he went down as near as he could to the nearest 10 of the Midianites, he and his armor bearer, his right-hand man. And they were so close to the near 10, he heard a conversation between the Midianites. One told the other one, last night I had a dream. And the guy says, what was the dream? Wow, I dreamt a crazy dream. I dreamt that a barley bread. Now, barley bread is the poorest of all bread. Rich people eat wheat bread in those days, but barley is for the poor. Jesus multiplied, you read carefully, 5 barley loaves. All right, so he said, I saw a barley loaf rolling down the hill, all right, and smashing all the tents of the Midianites, our tents, and we all fled. And the Bible says that Gideon took encouragement at the dream. In other words, God was speaking to him through the mouth of his enemy. And what's the barley bread? The barley bread is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who said, I am the bread of life. He came as a lowly carpenter, all right? God incarnate is so beautiful. You know, I love it when I see Jesus coming down lowly, humble, and yet powerful. Amen? He hasn't come to destroy. He hasn't come to exert authority over man. He has come to exert authority over everything that destroys man. Over disease, over demons, over the powers of nature when it gets wild. So he's here to love man and use his power. And yet when he's with man, he's always humble. He's always lowly. I love it. Don't you? So here's the barley bread. Whenever you find you're in a situation, put Jesus, roll Jesus right into that situation. And the tents of the Midianites will fall. Amen. And the word Midian in Hebrew means strife. Strife will be destroyed by the introduction of Jesus Christ. Into every sermon, into every situation, into every counseling, into everything that we counsel people. All right, if there's strife, marriage strife, family strife, bring Jesus, the barley bread, right into it. It will smash the tents of strife. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Amen. And I want our church, not, besides the things that we are doing, as you saw, in times past, just a few weeks ago, you saw the Cambodia outreach and how we had clinics there and ministered to literally so many hundreds upon hundreds of people that came during that time. And they've never been to a hospital. They've never been to a clinic. I love it when I see things like that. This is what preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. The Bible says we must not forget to remember the poor. The other day I was watching a special documentary on Channel News Asia, and they were talking about the shortage of rice in the coming years. They say that for Asia, all right, being the staple diet is rice, they say that there's not enough rice. And they mentioned a certain year ahead of us that I forgot what the year was. They say that rice won't be sufficient. So as they were sharing that, they had a little a mother and a little girl, all right, from the slums, sharing about how they live from day to day, hand to mouth. And the small girl was very adorable to look at, but her feet were so skinny. It was tiny feet. You know, looks like a pair of twigs. But she was lovely to look at, and she was adorable like any other child, about 3 years old. And the mother was carrying. The mother was saying that every day she would go and beg from the food stalls, you know, around, and they'll probably give her like unwanted tempeh. You know what's tempeh, right? Beans. And then with that tempeh, she will reheat it for the lunch and then keep some for dinner. That's what they eat. So my heart was moved, and I was praying for that that little girl. Sometimes when I watch, I pray. So I was praying for the little girl that, you know, that family will find Christ, because in Christ will be all provision, not just physically, but also spiritually. And all. So while I was praying for the child, the words came out while I was praying over the child. They stopped the picture and they said that 9 months from this interview, this child died because of malnutrition. And I said, no, while I was praying, I said, no. This cannot be. Amen. I hope the interviewers gave something to them. After all, they made part of the documentary, you know, and I trust they did. You know, there's so much poverty in the world, and we have second helpings, third helpings. We talk about where to go and eat, where the best food are. But there are children even in Singapore who are during canteen time, they will go and drink from the water. And when it comes to children, people, regardless of race or religion, we are here to help. So in the days to come, you will hear more and more, besides you know, clinics and all that for the adults and the elderly. And we want to reach out to the children, the poor children in our a part of the world. Amen? But you say, Pastor Prince, there are literally millions of them. I know. We'll do what we can with what we have, based on the leading of the Lord. You know, there was a boy in America, one of the beaches of America, where when the tide goes back, all right, when it recedes, there are hundreds, literally hundreds and hundreds of beached starfish on the beach. Hundreds, literally hundreds of along that long beach. So a boy was seen throwing the starfish back into the water. So a man was amused looking at the whole thing. And then he came to the boy. He said, you know something? You can't get the whole thing. You know how long is, you know how far is this beach? Literally, you have thousands of starfish that's beached if you walk along the way. And the boy took one more and he threw it into the water. And he says, but it made a difference for that one. Amen? Amen. Amen? The Lord doesn't say, love your neighbors, plural. He says, love your neighbor. Let's do what we can with who is in front of us. Yes. Amen? So, citizens of Singapore, believers in Singapore, let us set the example. Amen? Amen. Every nation is not perfect. Every nation. But if we wait until someone is perfect, or there's a perfect government, or a perfect rule, or a perfect president, or whatever in a country, we'll never, never pray for them. Amen. And God holds the nation's state. All right? You know who God holds responsible for his state? The believers. Because the believers are the only ones who can connect heaven. So when a devil attacks a nation to destroy it, amen, you can see the devil coming against families. He uses terror from outside. He uses diseases from inside. You know, and he's out to destroy men, regardless of nation, nationality. So we are to pray for our nation. We are responsible. I believe that God put us here for a reason. Amen. Now, many of us don't understand the reason for nations. You know, when God divided the nations, the Bible says, after the flood, the earth was divided. That's why South America, all right, and Africa, you can join them together like a puzzle. All right. Once upon a time, there's only one whole land of mass, one whole mass land, all right, without any divisions. But after the flood, God divided the earth, the Bible says. They say it took millions of years. No, God divided it. It's mentioned in the Bible in the days of Peleg, whose name in Hebrew means division, God divided the earth. And God designed in such a way that all the nations, everyone who is anywhere, is placed there by him. There's an amazing verse of scripture that I seldom hear preach on, and it's a prophecy of Moses before he died. Actually, it's a prophecy in song. And God said, put this song in the mouths of the children of Israel so that when they go rebellious, all right, they come in the latter days when they are rebellious and they come against my word and they come against me, this song will remind them of what I told them. One of the beautiful things about the song is this. It mentions why God created the nations, the different nations. We are Singaporeans. We thank God we are Singaporeans. Amen. I said we thank God we are Singaporeans. We don't have four seasons. All right, but we got more than five seasonings. We got more than a million food, I think, by now. You know, varieties of the same food. We got things that other people don't have. They may have things that we don't have. Amen. And we just thank God for our nation. Praise God. There's a prophecy here in the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. When the Most High, the Most High, what's the name? Elyon. When Elyon, God the Most High, divided supreme in position. God, in other words, Most High, because supreme in position to decide who stays where, all right, which nationality, which race stays where. So, from the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, God divided, all right, after the flood. And when God divided the inheritance to the nations, when God separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. So even back then, people, please be reminded, all right, that when God divided the nations, there was only Noah. There was no Abraham, who is the father of Israel. Israel did not exist yet. Israel came from the son of Noah, Shem. That's why you say anti-Semite or Semite, all right? That's the word Semite came from. You know, those who are against Israel or Jewish people, just hatred, all right? It's called anti-Semitism from the word Shem. So you have God had in mind, even before Israel exists, God would divide the nations, and they will all play a role with Israel in the center. God designed it. God designed that his son will come and die as a Jew outside the city gates. And Jerusalem will be the center of salvation. God designed it. Are you listening? So the devil tried his best. The whole drama of the Old Testament, all right, is the devil trying to kill. Even you see small babies like Moses, the devil is always trying to kill the one that he thought would be the Messiah. See, the devil is not all-knowing. So he killed. Every time that there's a promise of a child that is going to be a godly child, he would try to kill it. So there's a whole drama trying to stop the seed from coming. Amen. But you see, well, Pastor Prince, right now there's anti-Semitism and hatred towards Israel and all that. And if it's not this Gaza story, it's another story. It's always something. Hitler found something as well. It's just anti-Semitism. So why is this supernatural hatred there? Why the devil doesn't want them to be in Israel? Because he's trying to stop Bible prophecy from coming to pass. Because the Bible says the first time he's trying to stop Jesus from being born in Israel. Now that Jesus born, died, was buried, and rose from the dead, why is he still attacking Israel? Because now he's trying to stop Bible prophecy from coming to pass. Because the second coming, Jesus Christ will return, and he will return, and his feet will touch down at the Mount of Olives. And he will rescue Israel, all right, from total annihilation. Now, we won't be around, because if you study Matthew 24, a lot of Christians get worried. You know, they see all the signs. Many will come and say, I'm Christ. Don't be deceived, Jesus says. Nation will rise against nation and all kinds of things. And tribulation, like the beginning of the world, has never seen, Jesus said. So when people read that, they get frightened. No, listen, friend. Matthew 24 is not written to the believer. It's written to the Jews. You keep on reading, it says, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. That's Jewish. Are you listening? So it's speaking to Israel that does not believe the gospel still right now as a whole. They don't, you know, there are many believers, thank God, and many more believers. By the way, my Hebrew book, Destined to Reign, was just released. I had the privilege of meeting the Israeli ambassador in Singapore, and I gave her a copy. And by the way, she loves all of you and for your support. All right, during this time when they are so misunderstood. Anyway, she has a copy of Destined to Reign. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And people in Israel are watching good news being preached. Every night, people, not just once a week, every night. Not just twice, every night. Praise God. Amen. So, God had in mind, every nation that's built, they revolve around Israel. Not Israel was an incident that happened. No. We talk about 1948. 1948 is just an incident that happened. They didn't come and take the land that was never theirs. You don't talk about land, go by history, go to the Bible, all right? And the Bible says that the land belonged to them, all right? And King David made Jerusalem his capital 3,000 years ago. Amen. So People, that's Bible prophecy. And we live in times when Bible prophecy is very interesting now. Very interesting. In Ezekiel 38, it says, Russia will come down. Now, in Russia, there are many great believers. So God's going to get them safe. And by the way, I believe they'll be raptured. Amen. And all of us won't be around. We'll be raptured. We won't be around for Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is written for the Jews. All right. But John 14 is written to us. John 14 says, he talks to his disciples, and this is for the believers. He says that, I go away, Jesus says. But when I go away, I will come again unto you and receive you unto myself. There's a private rapture that's going to happen, where we receive a new body that will never grow old, never have disease, never die. Forever handsome, forever young, forever beautiful. Look like Miss Universe, Mr. Universe, different shapes and sizes, but all beautiful shapes and sizes, but different, you know what I'm saying? Amen. And we can still eat. Amen. There is a marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And we cannot feel bored in that new body. We cannot feel bored. We cannot feel tired. We cannot grow old. We cannot die. Forever. Amen. Which is quite a long time, people. Make sure you have your reservation. Amen. So, why is the devil attacking them so much? They're trying to remove Israel out so the prophecy cannot happen. Because Jesus is coming back for his people in the land. Are you listening? Okay, all that is introduction. Actually, I don't know why I use so much of that, but you need to know what's happening. And people, early this year when I preach on the situation, the dark situation that I saw in the world, and I say that when darkness covers the earth, now you look around. All right, Russia is extending its territory and threatening U.S. You have the ISIS killing Christians in Iraq. All right, terrorists. Amen. You have Ebola virus. But I prayed for all of you early this year. I prayed for all of you, just like Jesus says, I've prayed for you, Peter. Before it happens, I prayed for you. You will fall, but I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. You will fail, but your faith will not fail. And he even prophesied his conversion. But when you talk about that, you know, here is a little excerpt from my early this year, my first sermon on the theme of the year and what I saw prophetically. But I'm going to share this. You know, when I pray, I like to pray prophetically. I don't like to pray based on just norms, you know. I want to pray as the Holy Spirit leads me. Listen carefully to this phrase, strains of virus. Watch. That you will keep disease and sickness and the noisome pestilence far from us. And regardless of that strain of virus, Lord, that is coming, whatever strain of virus this year, that you will keep your people immune. They will keep your people, Father, all of us and our families, completely safe from every strain of virus. When I was praying, I saw that strain of virus that is coming this year. Right? And I pray for you. So people, you are protected. So can you don't keep on watching all kinds of news, you know, nuggets, all kinds of news channel. Keep on watching, keep on meditating on Ebola, you know, no faith, nothing. All right. Don't do that. Okay. Just know the general news. Okay. But don't get, you know, into it too much, because it will break your spirit. It will break down your faith as well. Okay. All right, are you ready for the word?
Yes.
All right, let's go right into the word. Today I'm going to talk about inheritance.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, he's called the Prince of Preachers. And he was the first pastor ever to have a mega church in London. And I've been to that church. All right, the great church. One of the times when I was in England, I took a bus all the way to where it is near Elephant and Castle. The building is still there, the structure. They have renovated the inside, but this building is still there. Just to be in that church service, and I really enjoyed myself, just to know that this man of God preached in this place. Prince of Preachers, they call him. He said this once upon a time when he was visiting one of his members, an elderly lady whom he considered very precious and dear. She was now flat on her back, elderly, went to a little cottage. And Spurgeon says that he was talking to her and visiting with her for a while. And then he noticed something that, you know, they have small frames and pictures and all that. This is in the 1800s, so you don't have many pictures like the photographs we have, but you have pictures that she would frame, beautiful pictures of flowers and things like that. And he noticed a little piece of paper that drew his attention. And he went right to it and looked at it real close. All right, his glasses, he looked at it. And it says, all right, this is a will written by so and so and so and so. And he says, do you know that this is a will? He said to the lady. The lady said, oh, I used to work for this man. She says, he has a large house and acres and acres. He has a large house, like almost like a palace, you know. But he has no children and he lived a lonely life. I was probably the only one that he knew. And I would work for him, clean his house and all that. And she says that he had other helpers as well. Before he died, and he has acres and acres of land, he gave me this piece of paper. Because I loved that man very much. He was a dear man to me. I appreciate him, you know, all the years that I worked for him. I felt like this is the only link I have with him. So I frame it up. She never could read. That's why she worked as she did. As a chambermaid in that place. And all these years, she could have lived in that house. It was hers. And those acres and acres of land was hers. This is like the story of many believers. One of the saddest things that God told Joshua is this. Joshua, at the end of his life, God told him, there is yet much land to be possessed. It says when Joshua was old and stricken in years, God said, Joshua, there's much land to be possessed. Obadiah chapter 1 has this phrase that the people of God need to do something. Look at this. It says in Mount Zion, the place of God's people, there shall be deliverance and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. You know, it's one thing to have your inheritance, it's another thing to inherit it. It's one thing to have your possessions, it's another thing to possess it. Can I have a good amen, people? And your inheritance is rich, it's powerful. It's not just for this earth, it is also heavenly. And the main crux of the main, I should say, the main clause of this inheritance is that you are to inherit this entire earth and as well as the universe. Do you know that? And this promise was first given to, I say inherit, I didn't say fight for it. You know the difference between inherit and fight for it? God says inherit. You know, if you inherit your inheritance, it's got nothing to do with how good you are, how bad you are. In fact, the word heir, H-E-I-R, in Greek, in New Testament, is defined like this. One who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship. So do you know when God gave you the Spirit, when Jesus rose from the dead, he made Israel that was nepios, the word nepios in Greek, an infant in the Old Testament, and Jesus made them who believe in him sons. An infant, even though he has possessions, he has a title to the possessions, he cannot enjoy his possessions. I always said, he cannot drive his father's Lamborghini. But when he's a son, a full-grown son, he can. Now, many of us think, oh, that's spiritual growth. It's got nothing to do with spiritual growth, Galatians 4. It's got to do with under law, Israel was an infant. Under grace, he's a full son. Jesus came bringing sonship. Jesus came bringing sonship. And every time you find the word adoption as sons, the word adoption doesn't even appear in the Greek. The word there is hoisteia, which is actually placement as sons. Jesus came to make sons out of every believer. The moment you are a believer, you are a full-fledged son. And in God's eyes, you are a full-grown son. Now, there's spiritual growth involved, but he's not talking about that. Amen. It's talking about Israel, for example, under law, he was an infant. Under grace, he's a full-fledged son. Are you with me, people? So why is it that Israel, God promised Father Abraham, and that the land is theirs, all right? God spoke very clearly, the land is theirs. Yet they are struggling so hard to maintain the land. They are struggling. Today we see in the newspaper. I mean, I'm so glad. It's very easy to preach the Bible nowadays. You know why? Just point people to the newspaper. All the prophecies are coming to pass. During Ezekiel's time, Russia was non-existent. Ezekiel preached in the Old Testament, only tribal, you know, all different kinds of tribes, divided clans. And yet he talked about a nation called Rush in Hebrew, Russia, all right, prince of Magog. It says, and Meshach, old Hebrew for Moscow, and Tubal. It's all in Ezekiel 38. They'll come against Israel. And God says his fury will rise in his face and he will destroy them. So will this happen before the rapture or after the rapture? There are Bible prophecy teachers who say it will happen before the rapture. And some are saying it will happen after the rapture. But one thing is for sure, you'll be raptured if you're a believer. Before the great tribulation happens, the Bible says now that we are saved, we shall be saved from wrath. So the 7 years of tribulation are called the days of God's wrath. We are not going through that. We have been delivered from wrath. Are you listening, people? Now, it's not popular nowadays to preach on the rapture, all right, in many, many places. You know, they make fun of it. They say the great escape and things like that. Yet, Jesus taught it. Amen. Especially in the upper room. Upper room teachings are all for the church. Matthew 24 is all for the Jews. And that's why the phrase like Sabbath is used. We don't keep Sabbath. We keep the Lord's Day on Sunday. Amen. So the thing is this, people. Listen carefully. Inheritance is what this grace message is all about. Why is there such an attack on grace? Because only grace can give you the inheritance. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but you need to see this. Why is it Israel today cannot hold on to the land? Because Israel is under law. Israel is under law, and Israel has not seen Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So they're struggling. They're trying to earn the right to keep the land when the land is given by grace. So let's look right here in Romans chapter 4 for the promise that Abraham would be the heir of the world. Again, it's got to do with inheritance, heir of the world, heir of the world. What is the promise, people? If I ask you, you're doing an exam, all right? And I say, what is the promise given to Abraham by God? That he'll be the heir of the world. The word world is cosmos, which is actually not just everything in the earth, but the whole earth and also the universe. And one day we'll see that happen in its fullness when Jesus comes again, the one to whom all power belongs, rightful a king of this earth, and he will reign from Jerusalem, and there'll be no child dying, amen. There'll be no more sickness, amen. No more need for hospitals, because this one who is reigning is meek, kind, whose heart is kind beyond all measure. What a king. Napoleon thought it was him. Alexander thought it was him. But at the end, they became corrupted. There's only one king who will rule, and it will be righteousness forever. Amen. Justice, equity, love, and the earth will blossom again without crazy people trying to destroy it, threatening each other. Okay, never mind. Let's forget the world. Let's look at Jesus and see how beautiful he is. It's so good sometimes to look at the news vertically, then look up and see how beautiful he is. Amen. And remind yourself of his promises. Amen? So notice the promise that he will be the heir of the world. Can you be the heir of the world if you are sick? Always flat on your back? So within this promise of being heir of the world is also health. Amen. Can you be the heir of the world when you don't have even money to live in a place? Can't even buy it, let alone rent it. You can't even rent it. You don't have money to rent. Can you be the heir of the world if you're always broke? No. So encompassed within this promise of heir of the world is also provision. Amen. Are you listening? Can you be someone on medication all the time, always depressed, and be the heir of the world? No. So freedom from that even is in the heir of the world. So God always gives you the larger, because the larger encompasses the lesser. So the promise that Abraham will be the heir of the world is about inheritance. That's why you must understand this, people, why the devil is fighting the message of grace so much, the message of righteousness of faith. Why? Because the promise that Abraham will be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. This promise is not via the law. It is via the righteousness of faith. And Israel is trying to get it by law, by their merits. Amen. But it only comes, this promise, to the righteousness of faith. In other words, people, we gotta burn this truth in our spirit, man. I'm telling you. If that's true, if I'm sick, I don't try to get healed. I just confess I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I make sure that I'm righteousness conscious, and faith for healing will be there. Seek ye first his kingdom and his not yours. His, not your performance. His righteousness, which is a gift. And all these things will be added to you. Amen. There'll be all kinds of appendixes and all kinds of bonuses. Everything is attached to His righteousness. You know, many of us, we are trying to, when we are broke, we try to resolve the situation by borrowing from people or whatever. By the way, have you noticed if you lend to a friend money, you destroy his memory? Okay, anyway, the thing is this. We try our best to try to overcome our problem, trying to do it vertically, you know, but through men. But the Bible says, if you just come before God and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, believe it, study it, know what it's all about. My book, The Power of Right Believing. All right, it's all about righteousness by faith. And that's why 1 John 1:9 will have to come into the picture, because it destroys righteousness consciousness. Amen. Amen. And only when you're righteous, and you know, even a little girl, when she knows she's wearing something beautiful, the mother just bought her this beautiful dress, she doesn't want to soil the dress. When her little friends ask her to play at the mat and all that, she won't want to play because I got a new dress on. She's conscious. So people, tell me, which one will make people sin more? To know that they are clean by faith, righteous by faith, having that gift on them, or to make them feel dirty? So here, the Bible says the promise cannot happen through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So the devil, seeing this verse, will want to promote the law and will want to demote righteousness of faith. He will attack anyone, assassinate the character of anyone who preaches righteousness of faith. Why? Because the promise of Abraham, that God promised you'll be the heir of the world, will happen in their lives. And I'm here to tell you, people, in this church, we have seen God give us this building. It's not because we are good. It's not because we are extra diligent. It's not because our leaders are fantastic. It is not because Pastor Prince is great. No way. It is because we inherited effortlessly in land scarce Singapore. Look around you, man. Nearly half a billion. It's crazy. When people ask me, how do you do it? I don't know. I really don't know. It's a revelation, people. In land scarce Singapore. Even if all of you give, how in the world can it become that many millions? It's crazy. I'm the pastor of the church, and I'm saying it's, when I say it's crazy, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying that it's not natural. It is supernatural. But I can tell you this, we are inheriting. We are inheriting. The ministry I have, it's not because I'm such an eloquent speaker. So, if you're the devil, if you're not the devil, okay? The devil is not this good looking, all right? If the devil is the devil and he wants to destroy people from inheriting, what will he do? He'll promote the law. And he'll do it in such a way that says, you know, no, no, we're not saved by the law, but we are saved by, you know, by grace. But then after that, we keep the law. It's the same thing. It will rob you of your confidence. It will rob you of your righteousness consciousness. It will make you self-conscious instead of Christ-conscious. It will not deliver you from self. And you find the result is unholiness and outbreaks of sin. Are you listening, people? I've got a testimony here from a man that I just read this past week. And it's a male from Hong Kong. He's still in Hong Kong. He said, I grew up in a dysfunctional family with an absent father who was emotionally absent, and my mother suffered from anxiety problems. I felt that I needed to earn my father's love and recognition. My upbringing made me very insecure, and I developed an aggressive and arrogant temperament. In school, I was rejected by my peers. Such experience made me radical, selfish, overly ambitious, and above all, deeply cynical. And that's true. When people experience rejection, they get into all sorts of problems. In 2004, I fell very ill with an unknown skin condition. My skin would swell and become extremely allergic. I could hardly sleep at night due to the skin condition. My work as a lawyer was overwhelming, and I simply had no energy to get through the day. No doctor could offer a solution. I turned to other spiritual means to soothe my pain, but nothing worked. In fact, my fear grew, and I developed anxiety and panic attacks. It was a breath of fresh air when my girlfriend, bracket, now my beloved wife, brought me to church. There was a church in Hong Kong in 2006. I received Christ a year later. Yet life did not change in any fundamental way. I was taught that I was taught that I needed to perform and please God with my deeds before I could earn his blessings. The preachers in my church also preached that salvation could be lost. Look at the result of believing this. And the result of living an ungodly life would be to end up in hell. Because of the teaching, I found it difficult to believe that God loves me or wanted the best for me, and I still felt cursed. Then my life was completely reformed when a brother in the men's ministry introduced me to Pastor Prince's message of grace. My world and perception of my faith changed radically. For the first time in my life, the feeling of curse was gone completely. An abundance of love overflows in my life, so much so that I wanted to bless others around me. Look at that. The result of security is not you become selfish. Yeah. When there's pain in your tooth, all right, and you're insecure physically, who do you think of? You don't care about the world suffering, or even your family member. You care about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So people, which one will promote holiness? Anyway, he says that an abundance of love overflows in my life. I have been preaching the word to my family members and friends who are not believers. See, he's now an evangelist. Yeah. When we say preach the good news, it's not just you preach the good news, now you're a Christian. Oh, what is it? Must tell them the law. Okay, you're a sinner. There's no spirit behind it. When you say it's good news, man, you can't stop from sharing. Yeah. Amen. If you know a certain place sells great durians, you tell your friend, down there, man, you become an evangelist, durian evangelist. You know what I'm saying? We only need laws and regulations when there's no life. Okay, back to the testimony. All that is not from him, okay, that's me. I've also been following Pastor Prince's teachings on praying in tongues, and unimaginable peace and tranquility flowed through me as I prayed. I now run with Pastor Prince's sermons playing on my iPod, listening to them whenever I have time. I feel a tremendous peace, sense of peace and joy just by hearing the word of God. Going forward, I want to help spread the message of grace, especially within the Chinese community, and my aim is to pass on the message of grace to the people around me. My wish is that all of my fellow countrymen in mainland China will benefit from Pastor Prince's teachings. Hallelujah! He has a vision for China. Amen. The gospel is going places. There's a revolution of grace on.
Yes. Amen.
And there is a spiritual warfare going on because it's all about being an heir. And it goes on to say, if those who are of the law, those who are of the merit system, earning system, are heirs, faith is made void. And the promise, this promise of being the heir of the world, made of no effect. I can tell you this, this verse is memorized in hell. What do you think? It voids faith. You tell the average Christian what voids faith, they'll tell you sin. I can tell you this. The average Christian, whether it's here or America or anywhere else, you ask them, what voids faith in your life? They'll say sin. I'm all against sin. But you're not answering scripturally. Nobody dare to say the law voids faith. And yet the scripture says, if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. And the promise, no effect. And that explains why some sincere Christians are struggling with things that Jesus took away at the cross. And they are people who are holy, and yet they are struggling. They are not people who are sleeping around, dishonest in their business dealings. They are honest people, good people, but their mind is on the fact that I'm good, so I deserve to be healed. When you are healed, you become good. But let people, sinners as they are, receive healing. And people are shocked when I say, even sinners can receive healing. Who else do you think received from Jesus when he was here? Duh. They were all sinners. If sinners can receive healing, why is it that Christians cannot? Because we are too knowledgeable of the 10 steps of why you are not healed. So we become inward-looking, self-conscious, self-occupied, when we should be Christ-occupied. Like those people who are sinners, they look away from themselves and to Christ, and they're healed. And healing is one of the inheritance. Are you listening, people? If this is not enough, let's look at Galatians chapter. It's all about inheritance. Tell me, Paul says, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? He's writing to believers. Romans is about You cannot be justified by the law. All right? Galatians is written to believers also, and it says you cannot be sanctified by the law. You cannot live a holy life by the law. So there are those who say, yeah, I'm not justified by the law, but I live a holy life by the law. Then Galatians is for you. You have believed another gospel. And tell me, he's writing to believers, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. Get ready for a first-class exposition of typology. All right, at the hands of the Apostle Paul. Look at this. It is written, Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. The one by a bond woman. Ishmael was born from that slave woman. All right, the other by a free woman, which is his rightful wife, which is Sarah. And who is that? Isaac. He who was of the bond woman was born according to the flesh, according to human effort, when Abraham still could perform. And he of the free woman, Isaac, through Sarah, was born through promise when Abraham was nearly 100 years old. He cannot. No more effort. Watch this. Which things are symbolic? These two sons, these two women, they are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, Hagar and Sarah, the one from Mount Sinai, who gives birth to bondage. Don't you forget that, which is Hagar. Mount Sinai is where we get our Ten Commandments. Yet the Bible says everything from Mount Sinai gives birth to bondage. Let that sink in. There's no mistake who this mountain is speaking of. Hagar, which is Hagar. It produces bondage. And this bondage is not just spiritual bondage, people. It is mental bondage, physical bondage, financial bondage, all kinds of bondage. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, in case you didn't get the message. And corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and it's a bondage with her children. Jerusalem now is under the law. Amen. Next verse. Jerusalem above, Sarah, is free, who is the mother of us all. Then he quotes from Isaiah 54 about the fruitfulness of Sarah, those who are under grace. Sarah is a picture of grace. Next verse, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, but as he who was born according to the flesh, which is Ishmael, was born after effort, then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. Even so it is now. It's always the child of law that persecutes the child of grace. It is never the child of grace persecutes the child of the law. You should wake up and realize who is fulfilling the new commandment of Jesus of love. Amen. You know, the almost like a religious hatred towards the teaching of grace. It's almost frightening. Pastors, we don't want to control our people with fear and intimidation. We want them to be constrained from doing wrong things, constrained by the love of Christ. When it's love, it's permanent. When it's fear, it's not. I remember years ago when Gulf War happened in the early 90s and all that. I mean, the churches in America were full that week for a few months. And people are back. You cannot go to church out of fear. You may come initially out of fear, but you won't stay out of fear. Pastors and leaders, understand this. Fear and intimidation is not going to keep the people. Verse 30, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Cast out the bond woman. Cast out Hagar, the system of Mount Sinai. Cast out the bond woman and her son. For the son of the bond woman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. It's a serious thing, people. You know why people come against grace? You know, the devil is behind it. He doesn't want God's people to inherit effortlessly. Inherit means what? Your son is bad. He's the only son. You die, he still gets your property. Inherit got nothing to do with your performance. But within the inheritance is the Holy Spirit and His anointing and His power to live a holy life. You cannot live holy by the law. Grace people are holy by accident. They behold Jesus, they live, and their heart is full of sharing good news. They are generous with their money. They are honest in their dealings. Amen. Apostle Prince, are you saying that in your church there's no one who's living in adultery? Those idiots are in every church. whose foot, one foot in two sampans, two boats for my overseas friend. And they think they are cool. They are walking civil war. Walking dead. It's wonderful to have peace. When I look at my wife, wow, she's all I want. And all I want is her. Gives you such integration that you can be energetic and live life without having, will so-and-so find out? Will my wife find out? You know? Like I said, you can't bring that girlfriend, if you're married, under the everlasting arms of God and say, we can find refuge, you know? Pastor Prince, you got to hear this message. I mean, her conscience is condemned. Your conscience is condemned. You're not loving her, because if you love her, you don't want her conscience to be condemned. You don't want her to feel like hiding and doing things in darkness. That's not love. And lady, if you're in it, have more self-respect. Come on. You deserve more than that jerk. You wish you didn't come, right now. Yeah. All right. So, the Bible says, all right, cast out the bondwoman and the son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir. It's a question of inheritance, people. That's why this war, I can't find a better word. This war against grace, even though now it's growing by, it's beyond, it's like a tsunami now. Every time I hear a new pastor, a new preacher preaching grace. But yet while that is happening, my heart goes out to those who are contending, because it's hard for you to kick against the goats. Are you listening, people? And verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman. We're not children of the law. We are children of the free grace. The reason I put chapter 5, verse 1 is to show you the context. And many times chapter 5, verse 1 is misquoted. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And I've heard preaching ever since I was a young believer saying the yoke of bondage is sin. Don't get entangled with sin. I told you I'm against sin. But the context here, the yoke of bondage is not sin. It is the law. Stand fast in the freedom by which Christ has set us free. Amen. If anyone comes to you and says, do you know, if you don't observe this feast and all that, if you don't eat this kind of food, whatever, you know, based on Jewish law, you will suffer and all that, say that, I'm sorry, man, you're too late. I don't receive my health based on what I eat. It's not what you eat, it's what eats you. It's what comes out, Jesus says, from your heart. Adultery, murder, bitterness, hatred that defiles your body. That means also makes you sick. Yeah, by all means, watch well. You know what I mean? Even the food that you're eating that is organic and all that, now they say, sometimes they say, oh, this vitamin is good. Now they say, this vitamin no good. Too much EPA, DHA can cause stroke now. Have you read it before? Too much EPA and DHA, you know, the fish oil, can cause stroke. Make up your mind. So you know what? Just be led by the Spirit. If God says eat, eat it. Just eat it. Give thanks, eat it. It's sanctified in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, of course, a little caveat. If the doctors tell you you've got high blood pressure and all that, avoid this kind of salty food and all that, you know that common sense right now. All right? Praise God. So, stand fast in this freedom by which Christ has made us free. Together. Together. With brave heart, we shout, freedom! That's what Jesus came to bring. And do not be entangled again. Why again? Because they were entangled. Some Judaizers came and says, you got to keep the law. No. There's no compromise. Stand fast means it's a fight to stand fast. It's not a fight of an exertion fight. It's a stand fast fight. Stand. which means stand your ground. Don't give in to the law. Are you listening, people? It's all about inheritance. That's why this war, it's not just, Pastor Prince, you believe in this, you know. Some of us, we believe, you know, in grace, yeah, but we got to keep the law and all that. It's a small matter. You won't inherit. I love you. I'm preaching because I love you. Because I'll still inherit, yell. I don't get jealous, don't get angry. But I'm sharing with you what causes me to inherit, what causes our church to inherit. All right. And by the way, if you're saying, oh, Pastor Prince, I'm still not inheriting all that I'm supposed to inherit. I understand that. Would you like a scripture for it? You see, God is amazing. God always God puts beautiful pictures like inheritance in the Old Testament. Just like Paul brings out the two women, actually two covenants. But these women existed. So even Israel was given the land. What did God tell Israel? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. All right? Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon shall be yours. But then God says the entire land is yours. I have given you the land. Yet God said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. All right? And by the way, God didn't say you got to crawl, you got to struggle, God just says walk. And you inherit the land. Just walk. It's a daily thing. It's effortless because you inherit. Do you understand? And God said it more than once, you inherit. But watch this, in Psalms 44, it tells us very clearly, somebody say, Apostle Prince, there's a fight involved. They took the sword, they had to fight, Joshua had to fight, David had to fight, other people in the wilderness had to fight. I agree, but it's not a fight of human effort. It's fight, the good fight of faith. Let me tell you this, Psalms 44 tells us very clearly, they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. Because you favored them. Because you favored them. So even though we see all the fighting going on, we see all the, you know, the victory. Look, 3,500 rockets was fired into Israel, coming to 4,000 now. The Iron Dome only knocked off a fraction. Do you know Israel today, last week? Israel today is not a tabloid. Israel today shares last week that one of the missiles was flying towards a shopping center where a lot of people were. And they can tell, the Iron Dome people can tell based on the wind, all right, the flow of the wind at that time, and everything, they can calculate the temperature, everything. And where the missile would finally fall, they can tell. All right, if it's an inhabited area, they will shoot it down. If it's going to fall in a non-inhabited area, they let it fall. Because every time they shoot, it's very expensive. So this time it was going towards a shopping center, towards a very populated area in Tel Aviv. This was in Israel today, just last week. The commander of the Iron Dome, straight away they calculate again, very fast they can calculate and wind velocity and all that, they can tell it's going to fall down there. So they shot one Iron Dome, alright, it missed. They shot the second Iron Dome, missed. Now very seldom they miss twice, alright, and finally they shot the third Iron Dome and it missed. And they said this, unheard of. And it was going to its way for this utter destruction. And not only 15 seconds, they should be in the sirens, and every day they have sirens now where children and all that will have to rush in to find shelter. And it says, after the third one left, they sounded the call to rush. They already sounded the call earlier, but this time, you know, they knew that they got no other choice. And the guy, because the Iron Dome system can detect winds, there was no wind there, they said. All of a sudden, there was a sudden east wind. That strong east wind that hit the missile towards the sea, Mediterranean Sea, and it dropped. Harmless. The guy says, I'm not religious, But that Shabbat, I went to church. I went to synagogue. He says, it was the best Shabbat I ever had. I am now a believer in God. I saw with my own eyes. And he's one of the command. Listen, I saw with my own eyes, no wind at one time, a sudden east wind. When I read that, something in my spirit stirred. I said, east, sudden east wind, strong east wind, strong east wind. Then I remembered, I read something like this in the opening of the Red Sea when the children of Israel came. The Bible says, that night when God opened up the Red Sea, a strong east wind kept on blowing the whole night. It's the same God of Israel, I'm telling you. Nearly 4,000 missiles, all right? And let me tell you this, okay? It's a very difficult warfare to fight because terrorists are shooting to kill civilians. They are shooting to kill terrorists who are hiding among civilians. They are not targeting civilians. They are targeting those terrorists. The terrorists are purposely targeting civilians. So you make your choice. Don't write to me, all right? Don't waste your time. You cannot pander to terrorists, or else they keep on using this tactic all over the world. Thank God for Israel.
Amen.
And they didn't get it because of the Iron Dome. Because of God's right hand and the light of his countenance and God's favor. It's the same old story, people. Are you listening? Huh? But Pastor Prince, how come I don't seem to possess my possession? How come I don't seem to have, the healing is so slow? My friend, I want to tell you something about, even, thank God for all these pictures in the Old Testament, right? It tells you that the land is what? The land is a picture of our inheritance. For them, it's a physical land. For us, it includes land as well. Don't dispute that. There are people who teach, Israel has earthly blessings, you know? The church has heavenly blessings. What is that? You know, heavenly doesn't mean, you know, every blessing that comes to you is heavenly. No, heavenly is a better covenant, which means it includes the old plus the new. The old didn't have eternal life. The new has eternal life. But how can we have better promises established, a new covenant, better covenant established with better promises? We don't even have health. I mean, they have a covenant of health. So Exodus 23, I'm going to answer the question, how we receive this, and you'll be surprised. Look at this, Exodus 23. First, it tells you that this covenant has health in it. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. Hey, it's great to serve the Lord. Amen. He will bless your bread and your water. You see, people say drink water is good. Like eat healthy is good. I agree, but listen, why, if water is better than Coke, and everyone agrees water is better than Coca-Cola, right? Pepsi Cola, 7-Up, I must say all these things already, you know? And I drink Coca-Cola, okay? All right, look at this. It's covered here, health. He will bless your bread and your water. I ask a question, if water is good, why must God bless your water? If bread is good, why must God bless your bread? Only blessing one. It's really good one. See, everything, all right, needs God's blessing. Amen. Even when you sleep, say, God, bless my sleep. Amen. Amen. You see a difference. Praise God. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. That means long life. Well, Pastor Prince, the thing is this. I've known a people. So the thing is this. Stop here for a while and listen. We all inherit, but we all don't inherit in the same measure. I'm going to tell you first and foremost, health is covered. You need to know that. How do I know? Because no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren. Where? In your land. That means for us, it's in your inheritance. This blessing of bread and water is in your inheritance. This God will fulfill the number of your days with long life is in your inheritance. Okay? So as long as Israel is in the land, God says, I'll do this for you. All right? So land for them is inheritance for us. Are you with me so far? Now, the question about how to receive it. How come it seems so slow, Pastor? And I've been struggling. Okay, let's answer the question. Same portion. Next verse. I'll send my fear before you. I'll cause confusion among all the people to whom you come. I'll make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets before you. Hornets are wasps, okay? And they are very small. You see how God used small things to confound the strong, strong Goliath height kind of enemies of Israel? God uses small things to confound them. Ezekiel 38, God sends hailstones and earthquake. Hailstones is amazing. I don't care how fine your instruments are, the latest technology and all that, your weaponry and all that. With hailstones, they cannot exist outside. God uses this to fight for Israel. It's happened in their wars before, and God's doing it again. So God is merciful, even they do not know Him. Many Jewish people today are secular. They do not know God. But God is still faithful. Look at this, people. God says, I'll send small things. And the word Sirah for hornets, the root word, the etymology of Sirah is the word leprosy. So God will send disease even among the enemies. I'm telling you, no matter how fine you are, if your commander has leprosy, that's it. Skin condition. What kind of condition during wartime? God will use apparently small things, non-weapon kind of things. Look at this. God says, I'll drive the Hivites away, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before you. Watch this now. This is important. Next verse. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Little by little. People, listen, all right? Do you know that every time you step out in faith and confess, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, you inherit little by little. I know, in faith you say, well, I claim the entire thing. But the experiential part, God gave them the entire land. But God says, step by step. So don't be discouraged. You got more territory than you realized. God is waiting for you to be strong so that when God blesses you, all right, many people, you know, they get blessed and they divorce their wife. They get blessed and they forget God. You don't see them in church anymore. So they have not increased. The blessing will not help them. The inheritance will not help them any more than the inheritance will help Justin right now. He cannot drive my car. Even though he's entitled, he thinks he can, okay? I put him in my car sometimes when my car is at home, and he would drive, you know? And he would cry if I bring him out. He loves the car. He believes he's driving it. I got to watch it because he knows how to switch on my car. He loves the growl of the sound, you know? He just loves cars and trains. But he cannot enjoy them. He cannot drive them. He only plays with them. The thing is this, God waits until you are increased, until you are strong. That's God's love, so that you can handle the blessings that come. That's why people who become wealthy suddenly, lucky draw, whatever, you know, in a lottery, their life is messed up. Yep, statistics show them, their life is messed up. Little by little. When, Lord, until you have increased and you inherit the land. Are you listening, people? Okay, I got to bring this to a close. Are you enjoying this so far?
Yes.
I love this. Until you have increased. The word increase is para in Hebrew, which is fruitful. Remember, Jesus was born in Ephrata, Bethlehem. Bethlehem, Ephrata, because there are two Bethlehems in Israel. One is north, one is where Jesus was born. It's called Bethlehem, Ephrata. Okay? Ephrat means fruitful. So he was born in fruitfulness in the house of bread, Bethlehem. All right, Ephra. See, people, many of us, we are trying to multiply. This principle can apply to a company as well. God wants you, first of all, don't worry about multiplying and you know, listed on the stock market and all. God, just be fruitful first. Just be fruitful first. And those things will take care of itself. Remember when God said to man, the first thing God did for man was what? Genesis 1, God blessed them. Number 2, God said to them, the first words of God is, be fruitful and multiply. Number 2, fill the earth. Number 3, subdue it. Number 4, have dominion. Number 5. So watch this. This is a message of grace. God's first word to man, all right, is 5. Grace. You know what God says? First of all, be fruitful. When you are fruitful, then you can multiply. This applies for a company, this applies for a church, this applies for your life, whatever it is. God says, if you want to multiply, you can apply this principle even to your church or your company or whatever it is. Tell your people, all your people, must motivate them to be fruitful. That's what you look for, fruitfulness. Don't look for expansion, look for fruitfulness first. When there's fruitfulness, then you'll multiply. Like Google is all over the earth. Multiply. Then when you multiply, you fill the earth with that brand name, right? Then you can control it. There's a certain amount of control. May the control be in the hands of those who are meek. Amen. in the hands of those who are righteous, in those who are kind. And then you have dominion, not over man, but over the sky, the sand, all right, the land and the sea. All right, bring the glory. How do I apply this, Pastor? How can I inherit? Even little by little, I want to inherit. Well, first of all, Romans 4 tells us just now what? Through the righteousness of faith. Keep on confessing, I'm the righteousness of God by faith. Don't worry about I need to be aware of what's in to be cognizant of what is happening in the stock market. And if you are someone in that line and all, you can study it roughly. But always remember, just keep on confessing, I'm the righteousness of God by faith. And you'll see things happen for you, in you, through you, around you. Okay, get back the righteousness consciousness. All right, number two. And this is a message for pastors and leaders in closing. Number two. Paul, in Acts 20, invited the elders of Ephesus to meet him by the beach at Miletus. They had a pastor's conference. And this is what Paul said in Acts 20. I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. So what are these wolves? How do they come in? And who are these men who rise up speaking perverted things? To pervert means there's an original. You pervert from the original. What is the original? Keep on reading. Next verse. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do two things, to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That means believers. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You see, people, you can take the Bible, the same portions that I read today, and someone else can turn it into law, the word of his law. They can turn it into word of his holiness, and I'm for God's holiness, but it doesn't say they commanded to God's holiness, because grace produces holiness, not the other way around. It's the word of his grace. So who do you think, pastors, leaders, Paul commended you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to build the people up. Remember, you must increase before you can have the inheritance. Is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. The word of his grace will build you up and give you an inheritance for you and your children. Amen. Blessed are your children, for they live in your house. Amen. They are in your family. Amen. There are a lot of people who would love to hear the secrets of God, because this is not Pastor Prince's revelation. This is the word of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the word of his grace, very important. The Bible has different expression, word of his power, word of his truth. But here, very specifically, focus on the teaching of grace, word of his grace. Because this word of his grace will build you up and give you an inheritance. All right? So, one is confess, I'm the righteous of God by faith. Keep on, be strong in that. Number two, spend time. I met a guy just the other day in a shopping mall. He bumped into me and he talked to me and he asked me for prayer. So I listened to him. So tell me what's wrong first, you know? And he told me that his life is messed up, you know, like he feels very down. His wife was there with him. It just his feelings are, he just feel depressed, feel down. So I said, before I pray for you, I said, you know, some things prayer, one time you go off. I don't want to be irresponsible. I said, listen, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, your emotions are an indication of what you think. And what you think is because of what you believe. So actually, your emotions are a red flag. When you experience depression all the time, you have a wrong belief. See, if I were you, all right, and I've been there before, where my thoughts become very dark, I will be listening to messages of grace day and night. See, the devil is attacking you day and night. You should be pumping your head full of the word of the living God. Word of his grace. I said, word of his grace, it will build you up. He said, thanks, Pastor Prince. Never have to pray for him, because that's the word he needs. All right? That was only a few days ago it happened. Look at this, people. Last two verses, we'll close. All right? How else do I inherit? Well, Abraham. We started with Abraham, right? Abraham asked God. God said, I give you this land. And Abraham said, Genesis 15. He said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? How shall I know that I will inherit it? God said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a dove, a young pigeon, five number of grays again, and 3 years old, because Jesus started his ministry and died three and a half years. It's a picture of Jesus Christ to his death. And God says, bring me the token of my son and his death, because that's how you will inherit it. The question was asked, how shall I inherit this land? God says, bring me a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice that reminds God of his son. So today, how do we do that? People, watch this, 1 Corinthians 11. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Do you know every time you partake of the Lord's supper, people, don't go through it like a ritual. Amen. That's why grace is so attacked. That's why the Lord's Supper is so attacked. Amen. And most places, they do it seldom. They do it infrequently. But I'm telling you, church, if you have a revelation, like the book of Acts, they broke bread from house to house. Upon the first day of the week, they broke bread. They came together to break bread. There's something about the bread and the wine, small things to you, but great things in its accomplishment. It's the body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus. And the Bible says every time you partake, you proclaim the Lord's death. Abraham asked, how shall I inherit it? God's answer was, proclaim my son's death. Every time you proclaim, even there's no one in your room, demons, angels see you proclaiming the Lord's death. Angels come to assist. Demons flee. They know that if you are going by the Lord's death, your inheritance is yours. You're going by your efforts and you're meriting, you're deserving, they got you. The moment you put the bread in your hand in the cup, they say that this is the most powerful man. More powerful than the guy that has the key for the nuclear. When you hold the bread and the cup. That's why people don't just, you know, don't be lofty and proud and look at these things and say, what can these things do? Radiation, I understand. Friend, this is more powerful than radiation. Amen. One last verse. Okay? One time, the enemies were coming. The Philistines were coming against Israel. And Israel was afraid. The prophet at that time was Samuel. They cry out to Samuel. And the Bible says Samuel brought along, very interesting, he brought along a suckling lamb. A suckling lamb means a lamb that is still on his mother's breast. A small lamb, something so small, something so diminutive, something so tender. And the Bible says he offered that lamb as a burnt offering. It's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Watch what happened. The enemies were coming closer, all right? Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. What happens when you proclaim the Lord's death? You will confuse your enemies. Amen. You will confuse the demonic force. Amen, amen, people? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. One last verse. Lustus. Okay? Cool. If you're thinking, Pastor Prince, what if I can I hurt my inheritance by my sin? What if one day my inheritance, I don't claim it, it becomes all? Well, I'll close with this, okay? That's why I wanted you to read this verse. 1 Peter, God brings you to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The word reserve is the word watch over in heaven for you. God is watching it. No one can go up to heaven and remove your inheritance. You enjoy it on earth by safeguarded in heaven. Are you listening? Amen. Just that your money is safeguarded. All right, by the central monetary authority, right? The banks and all that, whatever it is. The thing is that it's safeguarded in heaven. But watch this. Incorruptible means what? The word there is also used for immortality in another place. All right? It means not subject to death. Your inheritance is undefiled. What does it mean? Cannot be defiled by sin. Just like Jesus, when he touched the leper, he didn't catch what the leper had. Uncleanness. The leper caught what he had. Clean health. That does not fade away. This is a Greek word used for flowers. Perennial beauty of a flower, which there's no such flower. Everything fades. People say the ravages of time. I used to be beautiful. You know, they have the old pictures and the ravages of time. Well, the Bible says your inheritance does not fade away. And it means what? Not subject to time. Amen? That's what Jesus died to give you, people. And you learn those three things. Don't forget. Righteousness by faith. Immerse yourself in the word of His grace, especially when you're going through a trial. And the third thing, proclaim the Lord's death. That's the answer to Abraham. How shall I inherit it? How shall I inherit it? Proclaim the Lord's death. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this place and everywhere that's watching this right now. Friend, I'm going to pray a prayer of protection. It seems like nowadays we cannot take protection for granted anymore because people travel, people move, people are increasing. We are in a city that is bustling. We're not in the countryside. And it's important we don't take protection for granted. But before I pray, I just want to ask if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice or that's watching elsewhere, if you say, Pastor Prince, if Jesus died to give me this inheritance, I don't want a single one of it wasted. I want it all. And friend, you do that by receiving the one to whom the inheritance was given. And you become Abraham's seed only in Christ. Only through Christ is that possible. So if that is you, you say, Pastor Prince, I want to be in Christ. I want Him as my Savior and Lord. Friend, He died for your sins because He loves you at the cross. So wherever you're watching this right now, if that is you, you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord, you want to be in Christ, to become Abraham's seed, pray this prayer right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner, but Lord Jesus, You are the Savior of sinners. And I thank You, I receive You as my Savior, and all my sins are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. God has raised You from the dead, conquering death, even death itself, for me. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. All my sins are now forgiven. I have a glorious inheritance. Holy Spirit, teach me more. And Father, fill me with Your Holy Spirit that I may learn everything that I can about You and my inheritance. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Let's all stand to our feet for the prayer of blessing and protection. Jesus says, man's hearts will fail them out of fear because of looking at the things coming upon the earth. So I encourage you, all right, just know the headlines. Don't go too much into detail. And don't let fear come into your heart. Fear is an enemy. Lift your hands all across this place. I'm speaking to people everywhere that's watching this as well, in the overflow, in different places, different locations. Those that are watching via broadcast, in your house, in your home, in centers, in prisons, in detention centers, in hotel rooms. Friend, God is there with you. You call upon Him, He'll be your refuge, your hiding place, and He'll remove and deliver you from that fear that is haunting you. God loves to fill you with His love, His joy, His peace. Friend, the Lord bless you and your families with the blessings of Abraham. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, preserve you, protect you. The Lord keep you from all evil. The Lord keep you from Ebola virus. The Lord keep you from every sickness and disease, you and your loved ones. The Lord keep you from evil people. The Lord keep you from harm and accidents. The Lord keep you from evil days. The Lord keep you from the power of the evil one. And the Lord make His face shine on you and your families, be favorable to you. Let everything that you touch reflect His favor. Let men see the favor of God resting heavy on you and your families. marked by favor, destined for greatness in the kingdom of God. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and your families and grant to you and your loved ones his shalom, health, well-being, and peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen, amen. Love you all.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God. This month, receive Joseph's 4-CD series and book on praying in tongues as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Discover the power and benefits of praying in the Spirit. See rivers of living water released into every area of need as you step into the exciting yet restful prayer life, full of faith, power, and breakthroughs.
The Old Covenant, they had to pray with their understanding. They had to pray in a known language. They cannot pray in tongues. They cannot. Praying in tongues is a special gift only for this dispensation of grace.
And for a specific gift, you'll receive this special collection that includes the Spirit-led, Moving by Grace in the Holy Spirit's Gift, 6-DVD series. Learn how you can tap into God's wisdom and flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in every area of your life when you pray in tongues.
You never know what you're praying. Sometimes you're just giving yourself rest and refreshing. Sometimes you are making intercession for your children. Sometimes you're praying for a danger that's coming. When you pray in tongues, you pray perfectly.
Don't miss out on these powerful resources. Call us toll free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
There's a main meal where the body of Christ comes together on Sunday. And the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, this is the Lord's love language. The Lord says, whenever you do this in remembrance of me.
I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online. So if you're looking to be part of a community of grace believers, join us for service every Sunday. God bless you, and I'll see you online for church this weekend.
Join our digital service every Sunday at gracerevonline.com. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.